Welcome back to Ever Ancient, Ever New, the podcast in which we search for the hidden gems amongst the forgotten treasures of the faith. I'm Father Kyle Kowalczyk. I'm joined again by Matt Harold. Good to be with you again, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Father. Glad to be back.
And you had some good questions that are going to rile up everybody, I think, especially as we get closer to Lent here as we're recording this. So, hit it. What do you got?
I had questions about fasting. You mentioned Lent is fast approaching and incredibly fast this year. Valentine's Day, if you're unaware, which
on Ash Wednesday.
Ash
Happy
Wednesday
Valentine's
for
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly. So bring your date to get ashes.
Ashes and fish.
Yep. So got me looking more, as we talked about last episode. I'm new to the church, so looking a little bit more on what the rules are regarding fasting. Specifically, I was just reading some things about what the Vatican code of canon law. I found the Latin term, and I'm not even going to try to butcher it here on air. It says about fasting, and basically it says you are allowed to have one meal a day, but it does not prohibit taking some food in the morning and evening, which, if you're familiar with, I think most guidelines here in the United States, including on the US CCB website, it says it a little differently. It says one full meal and two small meals not to add up to a full meal.
Yeah.
Which when I read what the Vatican says versus, again, what seems to be the case here in the United States, that seems like a wildly different criteria. To me, the Vatican says you should only be eating one meal a day, but it does not prohibit some food.
Yeah, right.
Basically, if you are about to pass out, you can have a little bit of food to get you through to your one meal a day. It's
right,
kind of
right.
At least my own interpretation of what that says versus, you know, two small meals. I can have a little bowl of cereal and a salad for lunch, and that can carry me to dinner, no problem. It doesn't actually seem like too much of a sacrifice, I guess,
to
follow the fasting rules.
No, it's great. Yeah, and I think that well, first of all, when we go way back in history, and I think I've said it here before, is that, you know, Catholics are really good at feasting. You know, like, we love our feast days, and we have extended solemnities and octaves, and, you know, we find any excuse for a feast day. Like, oh, it's St. Matthew's feast day, great. Like, well, it's Saint, like some obscure St. Matthew Ricci from, you know, it's like, hey, I'll take him, you know, like, bring on the meat, you know. So we find all these ways to, you know, expand our repertoire of feasting. Like, today's my baptism day, another beer. Hey, today's my confirmation day. Hey, today's the day in which my parents, you know, named me, you know, like, whatever. so we have all these days that we feast. And then when it comes to fasting, we cheat. You know, it's always like, I know it's Friday, but tomorrow's Saint Joseph's feast day, and, you know, solemnity starts, you know, the evening before, and so we're gonna start right now. Or you know, I know it's Christmas Eve, and we're not technically supposed to start Christmas celebration until sun goes down, but, you know, we got a lot of things to get in, so we'll have Mass at 3 o'clock or whatever. So we're good, and this has just been historic. I was reading something one time, and it was talking like the king did this, and like, well, you couldn't break your fast until after evening prayer, so they started praying evening prayer at like 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, there's been a long history of not fasting very well, and we can look back and say, like, well, golly, in the old church, I mean, like, they fasted so well, you know. I mean, like, even the Eucharistic fast was from midnight, you know, like, so everybody's fasting every Saturday night from midnight, well, really till you went to bed, until you went to Mass the next morning. No water, no coffee, no juice, no food, no nothing. Is it, well, they weren't fasting, they just weren't going to communion. You know, and so I think that the church is always looking at that, like, okay, we want you to, we have to fast. The Lord said this. He said, when the bridegroom is gone, you'll fast. So it's a commandment. We need to do it. And so the church is trying to balance between people who have a lot of faith and are, you know, really fervent and can do all sorts of hardcore things, and people who are barely living it at all, you know. And we're trying to find a home for everybody, to not crush the people who are, you know, have a flickering wick of a faith, and not. You know, bolster up with pride the people who are, you know, can do anything, you know, the St. Paul's of the church. So you can see the dilemma, you know. So if we just look at it and say, well, this is all the church asks, we can kind of get disappointed. Whereas I think to look into it and say, what has the history of fasting been and how successful was it actually, begins to show a different story altogether, you know.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense, right? I can certainly sympathize with, because as you mentioned, it's a requirement.
Yeah.
And I believe the church has said it is a grave matter to break a fast day as well, right? Which
I would say this, yes. I mean, it's one of the precepts of the church to fast and abstain on the prescribed days. The fasting days are two fasting, right? You know, so it used to be a lot of fasting days, now it's two. You might argue that it's too few, because then we kind of even forget about it. And I remember, you know, you bring it up, like, you know, yeah, everybody knows this. And, you know, I grew up Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, you know, fish sticks and oatmeal, you know. And I remember when I was this young seminarian, and I'd met this young couple, and we're chatting, and they were sharing how they'd gone out for, you know, dinner on Ash Wednesday or something, and like no idea that it was a fast day and abstinence day. I'm like, oh my goodness, how did they not know that? But we just don't know. So yeah, you know, we have those two fast days, and like you say, well, what's the fast? Have one meal and two small meals. Like, well, that's a bowl of cereal is a small meal. A sandwich is a small meal, and then, you know, I have a big meal for dinner. Like, that's not fasting. That's a normal day. So again, put it into context. The church is thinking of like, okay, well, some people just, they have a hard time fasting, you know. And rather than having all these exception clauses, like, well, if you do manual labor, then you don't have to. If you, you know, are in poverty, you know, if you're, you know, this sort of thing. I think it's probably just easier to say, like, hey, here's the bare minimum, but here's where we can kind of fail, is like, well, I can do that. Like, okay, we'll do more than that. You don't have to have the two small meals. So I think there where you put the what the Vatican says together with what the USCCB says, which is just kind of clarifying, well, what does it mean to have, you know, well, you can eat something if you need to, you know, fast unless you can't. You know, so it's kind of saying like, okay, here's the bare minimum. Do at least this. Have a normal meal that you would normally have. You can't have like a huge meal and then say like, well, my two smaller meals didn't add up to that huge meal. They were just normal sized meals because I gorged myself at this evening meal. But one normal meal and then two little snacks, you know, so that they don't. There's no, I don't know what the Latin word for snack is. So it's just meal. There's little meals and big meals. So if you have a handful of peanuts in the morning because you need to make it to lunch, you have a normal size lunch, and then a dinner before you go to bed, you have, you know, a smoothie or something just to take the edge of hunger off. There you go. You know, but I think that this, you know, so like when I was discerning religious orders, you know, every one of them has a different, you know, how they do their penances and how they do their prayer and things like this. And I was always turned off by the ones that like didn't have a real strict, you know, Friday penance or something. It's like, oh, come on, you know, we're you're monks, you know, like we should be like really going hardcore. And then the order that I ended up joining, you know, like you said, Wednesdays and Fridays were always a traditional fast day. And so we would maintain that. So bread and water fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, every Wednesday and Friday, unless it was a solemnity or a feast day. And no meat. I mean, just bread and water. And our normal days were like, we didn't snack between any meals. We didn't have any sweets. We rarely had meat. So it was a pretty rigorous life. And what you find is when the bar is really high like that, a lot of guys just can't live up to it. And you just feel like you're constantly floundering, you know? Whereas when the bar is low, then we can kind of like, well, I'm tripping over this thing. It's just a nuisance. It doesn't mean anything, you know? And so that's where we got to find our like, okay, bare minimum, but you can do more, you know? So what do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, no, it does for sure. So for those who are trying to do more,
yeah,
is like, I know Exodus 90 is a, maybe popular is not the right word, but common
ooh, yeah,
program to do. And yeah, the Wednesday Friday fast is part of that. Yep. And you know, you mentioned, and you know, there's documents from the early Christians saying they did that as a standard practice. I guess maybe it was like that on paper. Maybe a lot of them actually do it too, just like modern times. But so I guess for those maybe looking to raise the bar, is that a good place to start? Or else, I also, in my research, I came across a term I'd never heard before called Ember Days.
Oh yeah.
So I couldn't quite tell exactly what they were, except it looked like it was maybe seemed like Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays that were at certain times of the year, which were additional fast days.
Yeah, I think they're
tied to feasts or some other
stuff. Yeah, they're like one per season or something. Maybe there's one in Advent, one in Lent. I think there's four maybe during the year. I don't know super bunch about them, but yeah, it's in the old pre-Vatican II reform calendar. And yeah, exactly. It's almost like a little mini Lent as you're going along through the normal part of the year. For whatever reason, those got wiped away as well. But yeah, I mean, I think one question we want to ask ourselves when we're fasting. So, I mean, you get these minimal fast days. Well, no, you know, the church actually asks us to fast every Wednesday or every Friday to do some penance on every Friday. Now there's not the penalty of grave sin attached to that, but I think if we're not doing it at all and know that it's something we should do, that's at least a venial sin, because it's a sin of omission. And maybe just, it's like a disregard, like, well, what happened this day? The Lord died for me. And I want to remember that in some little way. And so the tradition was always, I mean, every Friday was no meat, you know? And so, I mean, I think the richness of everybody doing something together like that. I actually have some priest friends who are trying to petition the bishops of Minnesota to bring that back as like, let's do this, because it was, hey, do this or do whatever you want. And a lot of people's whatever they want is nothing. We don't do anything at all. And I think we're missing something. And I think it's just a beautiful thing when everybody knows together, like, oh yeah, it's Friday. We're not eating meat today. Now, of course, you can always run into like, well, let's go get shrimp, let's go get salmon, let's get lobster, and you're not living the spirit of what you're trying to do. But even if it's just that minor inconvenience of giving up meat, or I'm giving up sweets, or I'm giving up beer, or I'm giving up potato chips, whatever they kind of like, something that you like, and I can just little thing, you know. I mean, is eating a plain cheese pizza that much of a penance? You know, like, oh darn, there's no pepperoni on my pizza. It's still pizza, you know. So the church isn't asking you to like scourge yourself or anything like that. But I think just kind of like, okay, well, am I doing those things? But then why do I want to do something more? You know, I think this is always a question asked. Why do I want to do something more? Even kind of getting to our conversation when you were sharing your conversion story, you know, it's like, am I trying to make too much of good deeds in my faith? like I'm trying to win my salvation, earn it by doing stuff. And if that's what we find ourselves doing, and some people have a propensity towards like, the faith has to be hard and I got to make it hard and I got to do hard things. And we got to just be careful on that, because that can run us into danger. And you hear a lot of the saints say stuff like, hey, if you want to fast, then fast from complaining, because it's really hard to become puffed up with pride when you're, you know, choosing to not complain rather than I haven't eaten anything for the last 4 weeks. I'm holy. You know, that's easier to get puffed up with pride. So kind of questioning, like, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to do more? I think on the other hand, asking yourself too, like, why do I not want to do more? Why am I barely even doing the little thing that the church is asking me? Like, if somebody's coming and confessing, like, I didn't keep my hour fast before communion. I'm like, well, how could you not, you know, like, I didn't do anything like on Friday. Like, well, how could you like pick something, like pray a decade of the rosary, you know, like refrain from, you know, a pop or something, you know, it doesn't have to be a hard, it's just be intentional. I think Exodus is a great thing or something like that, especially when you're walking with other brothers doing it. Because I think that's the important thing, is having this connection, that it's not just this loose thing in the air, like, oh yeah, I'm doing these hard things, but I'm connecting with brothers in the successes and in the failures. So if you're succeeding, you don't get puffed up with pride because there's other guys who are also succeeding. And if you're failing, you're not despairing because there's also guys who are failing. And you both realize, wow, I'm capable of much more than I thought. And I'm weaker than I thought at the same time.
How do you feel about fasting as almost a, maybe calling it an evangelical activity is not great, but like evangelize, I say that like evangelizing to people who, because I think back to, I mentioned when I was a kid, I had friends. I mean, they're still my friends, but I had friends who were Catholic even when I was not. And you can't help but see their behavior when you have a close friend. So actually that was something I kind of scoffed at growing up, was, you know, on Fridays during Lent, my friends, we'd go to McDonald's for lunch and they'd get the Filet-O-Fish because they couldn't eat meat. And I actually remember thinking to myself, like, that's not a hard thing to do again.
Yeah.
But then now, and with perhaps the benefit of wisdom of years, I thought to myself, well, I wasn't even doing that. How was I to say anything to them about that? But, you know, people notice when you're behaving in ways that are different than them. And I know we're not, I mean, Jesus teaches us not to put on sackcloth and make it really obvious that we're
fasting.
Exactly.
Fasting.
Yep. And that's maybe getting to your point about not getting puffed up about it. But even if you're just going about your business, but not eating meat on Fridays, maybe you're fasting, or it at some point people will notice.
I mean, that's why, like, I would love to see us get back to a collective. We're all doing this together. I mean, the bishops in England and Wales have come, like, nope, meat is the thing. You're not eating meat on Fridays. And I mean, even like that McDonald's, the biggest fast foods chain in the world, has fish fillet, you know, during Lent in particular. It's like, that's amazing. But it's because of Catholics, you know, or that like every, you know, normal restaurants hosts like all you can eat fish buffet. Like, well, that's not the spirit of it, but like, it's because of Catholics, you know? So yeah, those little witnesses, like, oh, their faith is more than Sunday. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, this is why people are attracted to Jews and Muslims, because their faith is not just a one day of the week. They see it because they wear it and they eat it. And Catholics don't eat or wear their faith anymore as a uniform, you know, thing. Like, we don't see, you know. So like, you can wear your faith, you have a crucifix or something, like that's a Catholic thing. You eat your faith when like, nope, I'm not eating meat today. Or wear your faith when you show up with ashes on your forehead to work. Those are good signs that are just, they're not, I'm not blowing a trumpet. It's just, oh, there's more than just a building that I show up to. He shows up to one day a week, you know? So I think that is good. I kind of, you know, like I'll do something on every Friday. But I'm also aware that, you know, if somebody invites me over to their house for dinner, if they ask, I'll say, yeah, I normally don't eat meat on Fridays. But if I get there and they're saying, hey, we have steak for Friday, I say, great. Because I did another penance earlier to cover my bases, you know. And, you know, if the opportunity is right, I'll say, oh, yeah, no, I usually refrain from meat, but I've done another penance, you know. So I don't want, the point isn't for somebody to feel bad. I mean, if it's a Friday during Lent, then, you know, you try to explain this a little bit more. Oh man, speaking of which, when I was on net, we were in Orange, California, and we were staying with this really wealthy family, and the dad had no faith at all. And he found out that he's like, hey, you guys, what did he feed for us? I think it was a Friday or no. We did a retreat on Ash Wednesday. Oh, it was the worst. Bunch of hungry kids, you know, high schoolers. So, but the dad had told us like, hey, I'll take you out for sushi on Wednesday. Ash Wednesday meant nothing to him, but we're like, well, at least it's sushi, you know, we're going to get, you know, fish. But I'm like, I'm fasting the whole day. So like you talk about like your one meal and I'm like, I got to fast the whole day so I can have that because I know that it's like be a lot of food, and he's going to be like, hey, try one of this and try one of this and try one of this, you know. So, and then on Good Friday, one of the girls on my team, it was her birthday, and the host family we were staying with wanted to celebrate her birthday. So the whole day, the morning, we had like spent in prayer, we did our fasting, we went to the Good Friday service, we get back to the host family house, and they had this huge feast of fettuccine alfredo with shrimp. So they did do shrimp, and then like this chocolate cake and all this. So it's like, well, all right. You know, it's like, but you're there's the element of charity too, of like, okay, yes, Jesus died, we fasted all morning, now our friend has her birthday and we need to celebrate that as well. And you know, whenever my birthday falls on Holy Week, I usually move it to the next. Well, I can't say that. If it falls on the Triduum, I usually just celebrate it after. Last year, my birthday was on like Wednesday or something of Holy Week, and me and my cousin went and got a beer to prepare for the Triduum. But yeah, you know, so yeah, you gotta be kind, you know, like you don't go like you. Don't you know? Don't you know that you're supposed to give up something on every Friday? Don't you know it's Ash Wednesday? Because again, it's not about the thing. It's about what that thing reminds me of and why I'm doing this. And I think that's the most important thing. So, yeah, good. Yeah, no, I think it's good. So, like we should fast, and I think oftentimes we get afraid of it. Like that's so hard. And you know, now with more and more people doing like intermittent fasting, it's almost like this, you know, trendy thing to do, like fast, you know. And it's good. You can fast for health, and why not throw in, you know, an intention too, like, yeah, I want to be healthy, but more I want my spirit to be healthy, and saying no to certain foods or food in general for a certain period of time is good. And you know, the little sacrifice that it is, especially on Fridays, reminds me of my Savior. Wednesdays, one of the reasons why Wednesdays was a fast day was, or an abstinence day or whatever it would be, because traditionally that's the day that Judas decided to become a traitor. So we remember that. And pray that we have the strength not to do that, not to betray our Lord. So yeah, the official rules are fasting. So the one meal, or unless you get hungry, two smaller meals that don't add up to a meal, is binding from 18 years old to 59 years old. So again, it's like, oh, seriously, you're 17. You're not gonna fast. Or really, oh, you're 60. Oh yeah, you're so old. You don't have to fast anymore. And then the abstinence rules are for 14 years old and up. So not huge, but I mean, there you look into like, okay, well, you know, the metabolism of a young kid is astronomical, and you know, when we get old, you know, it's we don't need to eat, quite frankly. So happy Lent, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Father. I appreciate the wisdom.
Yeah, well, thanks for the good questions. Peace out.